Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. So let's sing this, the everlasting God. Good morning. Good to see everyone here today. Another, wow, beautiful morning out there, isn't it? Just causes our hearts to rejoice and sing to the Lord for His goodness. So a couple announcements. This Thursday, the women of the church are hosting the blood drive. That's through this group that comes out of Mitchell, Vitalant, however their name is said. So that's this Thursday afternoon. I know a lot of phone calls were made, and thank you to those who have signed up. But if you didn't get a call or didn't know for sure and you're able and willing to give blood, there is a sign-up sheet out here on the information cabinet that you could sign your name, and then Jennifer would contact you as far as a time. Is that correct? There's time slots on the sheet. Okay. We know, we hear on the news that there is a bigger need for blood donations right now, as a result of, well, certainly they haven't been able to have the donations as usual, so the supply is down. So if you're able to, that would be wonderful. That's this Thursday once again. Also, our Family Fun Trilogy, as we're calling it, in place of our Vacation Bible School, you see the dates on there, the time, 6:30 to 8:30. Normally, we do this as a big outreach to the community. This year, because of the pandemic, we've limited it more to our congregation. So if you have questions about that, That's why. But we're going to have a great time. And as you see, we'll have the evening offerings. There won't be an offering contest like we usually do between the boys and girls. But we will still have offering, and that will go to the activities department of our care center here. The other thing, all church cleaning. The list of that of your names would be in the July issue of the Salem Spire. It will also be in the August issue of the Salem Spire. So please look at that. Watch for it. It takes all of us doing our part as we clean the church from top to bottom and inside out just one time a year. If you were here last Sunday, I mentioned the twice a year thing. One announcement that's not in the bulletin. Of course, the Four C's, our annual gathering, which was to be in Rhode Island, this would have started tomorrow, the board meetings. So that was pushed back till next year, July. But we did, and according to our bylaws and constitution, still have to have our business delegate meeting. So we did that yesterday afternoon via Zoom. They said, I believe, at least 114 delegates on there. So it was interesting, and it went well. And thanks to our delegates were David Herbolt, Carl Zabe, Larry Kirschman, myself, and Greg Wilcoxon as the treasurer. That's an automatic delegate. So we actually have five right now. So it all went well, and we've had a great year in the Four C's, and we just praise the Lord for that. The rest of the announcements I'll let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we do have so much to praise you for your goodness. 10,000 reasons and far beyond that, as that song says, we have to praise you for. Even for the sun coming up this morning, it's a new day dawning. Father, I think of Lamentations, which says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, for your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, and we thank you for your mercies that we so desperately need. And so, Lord, we are here today to worship you, Jesus. You said in your word that you are Lord of the Sabbath, and this is your day. Every day is your day, but this is the day we come together corporately to worship you in spirit and in truth, as you are Lord of heaven and earth, and we thank you for it. We are excited to be here. Father, really, as I say often, there's no other place we would rather be than gathered here in your presence in this sanctuary. So thank you for moving among us mightily by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So our opening hymn is number 12. If you'd stand together, please, we'll sing this. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Yeah. Amen. And so we do. I like the last part of that third verse. Christ is coming over the world victorious. And he is. He is coming again. And power and glory are his. Well, why don't you give each other sort of a wave or something before you're seated, and or an elbow bump or whatever you want to do. That's your choice. But then you can be seated. All right. And we will have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. It's good to see everybody again. Couple updates first for Les Melhoff. Les had that surgery on Monday morning to put in a tube to release the fluid off of his brain, and went well. He is still in the hospital and sounds like will be for some time. It was either going to happen Friday or tomorrow, and I didn't hear if it happened Friday that he would be moved to inpatient rehab at Sanford Hospital. So keep Les and Kathy in your prayers. Also for Johnny and Lori's son-in-law, Mike Burke, this would be Christy's husband. You all know Mike and Christy. He, last Sunday, he works at Poet over in Hudson, and was in an accident where he got burned. Hot liquid feed. Okay. So I have burned on his left arm, the back of his neck, and his ears. So he has to go back to Lincoln this week, Wednesday, to see if he'll have to have skin graft on the ear, one of the ears. So I want to be praying for them during this time. Also, just continued prayers for Jimmy Whale as he goes through the chemo and radiation. Coming along okay? Yep, seems to be. And for Marilee's daughter, Glenda Walker, as she goes through radiation and chemo treatments as well for her cancer. So, anything else that's not listed, Lori? Yeah.
And of course, only one person can be with him.
Right.
First, for the family, too, because it's really hard.
Yeah. This is Lori's sister's husband, Jim. They're from Geddes. It's in the hospital. Avera McKinnon has a syndrome called Guillain-Barré, something like that, where the nerve endings are attacked, and it's a 2-week deal, and leads to paralysis in certain places, and then you rehab back from that. So they have him in a light coma. Okay, be praying for him. Okay. Yeah, I think we do have a birthday today. Bill Headley. Happy birthday, Bill. I think last year might have been his 80th, if that helps you. So happy 81st. Am I right, Judy? Okay. All right. Anybody else over here? Over here. Greg.
Laura came through her surgery.
Oh, good.
Just want to thank the church family for their prayers.
Yeah. Yes, amen. Greg and Melanie's granddaughter, Alora, came through her surgery. She had that mucus cyst removed from her lip on Tuesday, right, and came through it fine. So, okay. Okay, yes. Prayers for Paige Herbolt, who relocated to Nevada this week for a new job out there. So, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's bow our heads, please. Thank you again, Lord, for a beautiful, beautiful morning. And thank you that the storms, anyway, missed us. Father, we do lift up, certainly a request for some moisture. Lord, we know that you are sovereign over all, but still you tell us to seek you, to knock, to ask. You tell us that, and so we do. such a different year from last year where we were wanting it to stop. And now, Lord, we could sure use some moisture here again for the crops and the trees and just all of your creation. For those probably in areas not too far from us who have had hail and different damaging winds and everything, we lift them up, Lord, as we know that's difficult to take. But we trust you in all of this. Father, we thank you for little Elora coming through that surgery well and healing up. Thank you for Les Melhoff. We lift him up as he continues to recover from his surgery on Monday. And we thank you, Jesus, for your power being at work within him, in Jimmy Whale, in Glenda Walker, Marilee's granddaughter. We pray for Lori's brother-in-law, Jim, right, from Geddes, who's in the hospital at McKinnon with this rare condition. Lord, we pray that the damage will not be much, that it would be limited, that you bring him through this and with a good recovery. We just lift up him and his wife and the family during this time, as we know it's difficult for everybody. Lord, for all these names listed in our bulletin, you know them all and you know the situation. You know the condition, and we just trust you for being with them and comforting them and strengthening them and holding them, Father, and their families in your everlasting arms, as you so wonderfully do. Thank you for birthdays. Bill, certainly today, was mentioned, and thank you for just blessing him and strengthening him each and every day of his life. Lord, we want to continue to pray regarding the pandemic and these states that especially are being hit so hard across the southern border and the west there. We lift them up to you, the families that are struggling, the healthcare workers, Lord. We always want to pray for them across the nation as they are on the front lines of all of this and geared up and masked up and robes and everything we could imagine would be difficult in 8, 10, 12-hour shifts, whatever it is. Give them strength, keep them safe and healthy. We pray for wisdom through all of this. Thank you, Lord, for keeping it by and large out of our area here, and we trust that that will continue, Lord. And we thank you for healing of this in the midst of this all. Guide our leaders, Father, our president and vice president, our congressmen and women, all the way down, the governors, the local officials, our school boards as they have decisions to make for this fall, and on it goes. We just look to you, and our eyes are upon you, and we pray for our nation as we More than a physical healing, Father, we need a spiritual healing, a revival, an awakening in this land. And we daily lift that up to you. And by faith, we thank you for your power that is mightily at work. We thank you for what you are doing in the realm, in the unseen realm of the Spirit that we aren't even seeing. But I know that you are working. You are always at work because you are faithful. And our troops, thank you for guarding them and keeping them here at home and abroad, blessing them, Lord, with your presence and your safety upon each and every one of them. For all these things and probably many more that were not mentioned, we give you thanks and praise, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. Paul said to the church, he said, "Now he who supplies," that's God, "now God who supplies seed to the sower," that's us, "and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, so that you will be made rich in every way." He's not just talking money. More than that, he's talking in our lives, in our walk with him, the gifts, the talents. "You will be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." And so it does. Of course, the offering box is in the back there. We'll just continue that way for the time being. If you'd stand, please, we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer today in place of the doxology. Father, we do praise you and worship you. Thank you, Lord, that you do supply seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In so many ways in our lives, you wondrously provide for all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And Lord, help us to realize it is all yours. It all comes from you, so that we can be a blessing to others in whatever ways that means, of sharing our time and talent and belongings and equipment and whatever, as we see a brother or sister in need. Help us to be aware of each other around us and to reach out as you did to us. As you say in your word, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so it is. And so we give our offerings this morning to you as an act of worship and praise before your throne. Thank you for blessing these gifts and multiplying them in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, we confess our faith together to you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, and the children can come forward for the Kingdom Kids time. Got it?
Good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you all today. Do you remember that last Sunday we talked about how much God loves us? Do you remember that? He did. And today we're going to be talking about how God is always with us. So listen to what this says in Psalms 139, verses 7 through 9. This is what it says. Where can I go from God's Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, over there your hand will guide me. So that's telling us that God is always with us. So what do you think? Where are some places that you boys and girls go? To mamas and, did I say that right? Nanas. To nanas and papas. Do you boys and girls think God's there? Yeah. Leah, did you have your hand up? Where?
To school.
Do you boys and girls think God goes with you to school? Yeah, he does. Bo? What? Go ahead, Bo. Sometimes you went. It's okay.
We went to grandma's.
Grandma's. And was God there with you?
Yeah.
Yes, he's there all the time, Laura. Hold on.
And then when we go to our friend's house.
When you go to your friend's house, is God there? Yeah. Did you have something else to add on? You slept there with a sleepover. Do you think God was with you there too? Yes.
And we go to Kansas City to see our cousins.
When you go to Kansas City, did you see your cousins? Is God with you? Yes. Brentley, your hand's up.
When I went to my grandma's house,
When you slept over at your grandma's, was God with you? Yes, God is with us all the time. And it's important to have God with us. It's so important because when we go through our hard times in life, we need to know that God's with us. Miles, did you have your hand up? What do you want to say? Where do you go sometimes? School. Is God with you? He is. And I'm going to show us a little object lesson of showing us that. Trent, since you were the first one up here, you want to be my helper? Okay, Trent. This is what your job is. These are quarters. We'll go them this way. And I want you to use one hand. Which are you, right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay, you use your right hands. Lori Will is going to time you. You have 30 seconds to pick up these quarters one at a time and to put them over here.
Okay.
Got it? Ready? Go. Seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 13, 30 seconds is a long time. I lost count. You got them. You got them all. Very good. You did a good job. Well, I'm not done with you yet. Get back over here. Okay, this time now, we're going to do a little different. Hold up your right hand. Okay, I want you to put your thumb across the palm of your hand, just like that. Keep it like that. Straight up, like that. Okay, keep it like that. Tape. I'm going to tape this guy up here. Is it tight? Can you move your thumb? Not much. Well, you can still wiggle it. Got to get more. All right, Trent, same exercise, you know the drill. What are you gonna do with those quarters? One at a time. You're gonna put them from this plate to this plate. Wait, ready? Go. One. Two. Three. Four. He's using your thing. Five, six, seven. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 30 seconds. Whoops, you did pretty good. Look, boys and girls, he did pretty good, didn't he? But did he do better the last time? Yeah, the last time he got them all on there. What was the difference here? What didn't... Yeah, what was the one he was using the first time? His thumb, right? His thumb. His thumb is always with him, right? Look at your thumbs. Are they always with us? They are. Do we need our thumbs?
Yeah.
Did your thumb help you to pick those up?
Both times.
Were you cheating?
I was going like that.
I know you were going like that. You know what? Oh, you did. You know, I had Jennifer Herbolt try this, and I decided not, I wasn't going to use them on the plate because she did the same thing you did, pushed it to the rim. But then I had them like that, and I thought that would be really hard. So anyway, but you got more down when you got to use your thumb, right? Okay, there you go. That's your bandaged arm. Oh, here, Trent. Thanks. Anyway, so boys and girls, God is with us just like our thumb is with us. We need our thumb to help us in all kind of things in life, just like we need God to be with us. And he is with us. Just like our thumb is with us, God is with us. So when you go around this week and you're in all kinds of things and all kinds of places, oops, remember, just like your thumb is with you, who's with us? God is with us, and he will help you in everything you need help in. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we worship you and we thank you for these boys and girls here. Father, just help us to remember that you are always with us, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, whether it's good places or not good places, you are with us. Help us to remember that and to make good choices. Help these boys and girls to let your light shine through them to others this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I have your papers here. Hold on, let me unhook.
That's right.
Whoa.
Okay, while the kids are getting their papers, you can go get your papers there. You can take the tape off too, Trent. We're going to sing number 83. Number 83, there is something about that name. We'll sing it through twice. Yes, there is. Let's bow in prayer once more, please. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the power and authority that has been invested into the name of Jesus. All authority, Jesus, you said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto you. And then you told us, now go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And we see in the early church as they used your name in prayer, we see the power and the authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ. That even the demons tremble and shudder at the mention of your name. And so, Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for your word, the very living word of God that you give to us, that we can grow thereby as we hunger after your word. So open our hearts and minds again once again today, as we look into your word. Let our thoughts be focused upon you and what is being said. And I ask, Father, as always, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 139, I had started on this really because of the baptism last week, and if you were here, you know we made it through the first six verses, and it's such a beautiful psalm. There's so much in there. It ought to bring us encouragement in the struggles and challenges of life. If we're worried, it ought to bring us comfort. There's four truths that we're looking at, and we're going to get into the second one here this morning. But as we looked at last week, we saw number one, or letter A, that God knows you. He knows you inside and out, from top to bottom. I said it's just like if he would be peeling back an onion, if our lives were like that. Piece by piece, he can peel us back to the very core, the center of our being, which is our spirit being, and he knows your deepest thoughts. And he said that in verses 1 through 6. There, I didn't read the verses, did I? Let me do that. Verses 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Those are the first six verses. I had told you last Sunday, amazingly enough, that as God is saying how he knows us, he uses seven different Hebrew words in the original language of the Old Testament, each describing a different degree to how intimately he knows us, as it's listed out there. It's so incredible. He searched you. That's the first. You know me. That word is used three times, once there in verse 1, once in verse 2, once in verse 4. We come down. You perceive my thoughts from afar. I talked about that. We often think, and it is true, our thoughts are very private to us, many times. Unless, I said, sometimes, you know, we'll say a person, they've sort of lost their filter and whatever's being thought up here just comes flowing out. You know, whatever it is. But most of us, there's a lot of things we think that we would never say, hopefully. You discern, fourth, you discern my going out and my lying down. That's talking about our motives there as we looked at that. Number five, you are familiar with all my ways. Number six, you hem me in. That's the word, hem. You hem me in behind and before. I think as I've looked into that, I think really that benediction, and I used it last Sunday, probably comes from that thought there, that we are encircled. How is that benediction? It may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. That pretty much covers us, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. In 7, he said, this such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So, you know these things in our heads, we know it, but when you really take it, meditate on it, think about all this, it's like how the psalmist responded there in verse 6 and 7. But he knows your heart. He knows what's in your heart. He knows your fears, your struggles, the trials. He knows your motives. He knows your dreams. A lot of those dreams he puts in your heart and mind. He knows the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything else. And guess what? He still loves you incredibly. He loves you. He's patient with us. More than we are with each other, right? Yes, he is. And so, again, verse 6, he said that this such knowledge that God has of us is too wonderful for me. The one translation, he said such infinite knowledge. Another one, it said such extraordinary knowledge. And so when we come to verse 7, David says, where can I go from your spirit? Let me read a couple more verses. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, you are there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, and the darkness is as light to you. And then he goes on. Where can I go from your spirit? Second, letter B, that's where we're going to jump into here. You know what? God pursues you. He not only knows you, but he pursues you. You think about that. The living God, the creator of the universe, of the planets, of the solar systems, the galaxies, and everything else. This week, did you look to the southeast? I had a thing that came across my phone the one night and said, Jupiter's going to be shining very bright in the southeastern sky. Some of you see it? No. I did. Yes. So the living God, he wants a relationship with you. That is so incredible and humbling to think about. But David, knowing, look in the six verses, he's like, I don't know. There's two ways we can think about those first six verses. One is like, that's a little bit scary that he knows everything about me. He knows my thoughts before they even come. He knows the words before I ever speak them out of my mouth. He knows the wrong thoughts that I think. He knows maybe the angry thoughts that I have that I don't say. He knows maybe the jealous thoughts that I have that I try not to let come out. He knows it all. And David is like, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence, Lord? So that could be the one hand. The other hand could be and should be too. Wow, that is a great comfort to me. God, that you know all of this about me and you love me unconditionally. That is incredible, isn't it? One translation, it says, where could I go to escape from you? This is verse 7. Where could I go to get away from your presence? Well, we know the answer. It's nowhere, right? Another, this is the Aramaic Bible I found. It says, where shall I go from your spirit, and where shall I hide from before you? And again, the answer is nowhere. But as I was looking through, I like to look through different translations to see, and that one, that really jumped out at me. Where shall I hide from before you? And we're going to look at four examples here of people in the scriptures that ran or hid, they were running or hiding, that's your blank, from God. Running or hiding from God. First one, Adam and Eve, right? Genesis chapter 3. We know that. After they sinned and ate that fruit, Genesis 3 chapter 8, right? What did they do? They realized, we don't have any clothes on. Never knew that before because they were perfect. No shame, no nothing. So what did they do? They made clothes for themselves from what? Fig leaves, right, which was not acceptable to God. But so it says there in verse 8, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they did what? They hid. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They had never hid from him before. They walked in perfect fellowship and communion with him. But the Lord God called to the man. See, he is pursuing them. That was this letter B. God pursues us. No matter what we do, he is pursuing us. God called to the man, where are you? Of course, we know he knew. He knew exactly. And Adam answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Two times it says that they were trying to hide from God, from his presence. And God, of course, says, who told you that you were naked? Well, anyway, did you? And he said, did you eat from the fruit? Well, then the blame game starts, doesn't it? In a sense, it's almost like the first game of hide and seek, in a way, although God was not playing hide and seek with them. He knew exactly what they had done. He knew exactly where they were to the very T. But I think it's sort of like you, some of you that have your kids when they're little, and those of you that have had, you know there's that fun certain age where they learn about playing hide and seek, right? And they go and hide where they think, although, you know, they're just sort of out in the open. Maybe they're behind a chair and the head's sticking up. But what do you do as mom and dad if you're playing? Where I wonder where Marie is at. I can't see her. Where are you, Marie? And usually then there's giggling coming from behind the chair, right? I can't find her. And of course, the patience that they have, Marie, those little ones, I'm here, right? We all have done that. God knew where they were at. He knew that they had sinned by eating that, but he was pursuing them because he created them and us for fellowship, for a relationship with him, a living, vibrant relationship. And did he let them wear the clothes of figs? He did not. I say this often. No, that was not acceptable. Nor would it be for us. We cannot atone for our own sin. No, he said, he made them clothes from animal skins, which means blood had to be shed. That right off the bat, he's showing them blood has to be shed to cover the sin. And so it was right there, already pointing to Jesus on the cross in Genesis chapter 3. And then he pursued, for God so loved the world that he gave. He took the first step, didn't he? So second there, how about Jonah? We all know that. Jonah chapter 1, God says, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, the son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he even paid money to run away from the Lord. He went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Was God going to let him get away with that? He was not going to let him get away with that. You kidding? And God has plans for each of our lives, and many times he's trying to stretch us out of our comfort zone. And he keeps at it, doesn't he? Whatever it is, shyness in my case, whatever it is in your case, we all have areas of uncomfort. But he pursues us because he wants a relationship with us and he has a task for us to do. So you know the story. He gets on that ship, the storm comes, right? And he gets thrown overboard because he knows it's his fault. So verse 9, back to Psalm 139, verse 8, excuse me, says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. This is a psalm of David. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. The depths, that word is Sheol. It's not really hell itself. There's a different word for that, even though some translations in English have that word hell there. It means it's the word for death in the grave, the underworld. Okay, Sheol, Sheol, that's what that is. But so what? What's that verse 8 saying? Saying from the heights of heaven to the depths, God is there. He's there with us. Here was Jonah in the depths of the sea, in the belly of that whale, right? Jonah chapter 2, we go over, now he's inside the belly of that, we say whale, it was a large fish, Amplified Bible, I just looked this morning, it said the sea monster. So whatever, he was in the belly of that whale, and he prayed to the Lord his God. Listen to part of his prayer, Jonah 2. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me from the depths, same Hebrew word, as Psalm 139, verse 8, same word, from the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. God was there with him. Even though he was disobedient, even though he was trying to run away from God and his plan, God was saying, no, no, Jonah, I got work for you to do, and I'm not letting you off the hook. I am coming after you. And Jonah realized it. That if you go on in that chapter 2, it talks about the seaweed wrapped around his head. We were Thursday at prayer. I read a couple verses in Jonah, and Calvin was here, and he said years back, some former pastor he had at a different church, they were doing a study on Jonah and that day, and the minister says to Calvin, you don't actually believe that, do you? That's sad. Isn't it sad? There are ministers supposed ministers of the gospel that think that actually did not happen, that it's just a parable. No, it happened. You know what Calvin's answer was right back? Well, Jesus believed it. Matthew chapter 12, if you're reading through the Salem Spire, that's where we're at today. It's right there, Matthew 12. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Jonah, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Jesus believed it. Well, that settles it, doesn't it? Settles it for me. Yeah, so Jonah was down there in the belly of that whale. And God, he repented, and God brought him out, had that fish spit him up on dry land, and away he went to preach to that city. Repent 40 days. If you don't repent, you're going to be destroyed. And that city repented. That brings hope to me. There is always hope. That was a wicked, wicked city, large city, and they repented. Okay, now Psalm 139, verses 9 and 10. It, going back to that, he said, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, well, where's the dawn? East, right? That's east. If I settle on the far side of the sea, that's poetic for west, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. So not only did we have from the heights to the depths, now we have from the east to the west, God is there. We know that. And it's not just that, and what's the word we use? That God is omnipresent, right? Present at all places, at all times. It's not that he is just aware of where you are. He is not only aware, he is there to help you. That's what it says. Even there, God, your hand will guide me. Even there, your right hand will hold me fast. Sort of like last Sunday, verse 6. 3, the prodigal son. The prodigal son. We come to Luke 15. You know that story. All these should be familiar accounts to you, right? The son, two brothers, that younger one, he asks for his inheritance. Apparently in that day, he was able to get it before the father died or in that situation. He gets it. What does he do? Goes and squanders it all, wastes it all on wild living. We even know if you read through the account that when the older brother comes after the younger one comes home, that we see he squandered it on wild living and prostitutes. I mean, he was just doing it all, I guess you would say. But what happened? The father in this parable is a type of God as our heavenly father. He was always waiting, watching, longing. Even though this son was way out in disobedience and total rebellion against the earthly father and the natural father. What does it say? I love in verse 17, it says, when this younger brother came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's men have food to spare? Here I am starving to death. And I'm going to go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned. Got to have that. That's the repentance. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And that this part. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and what? He ran to him. The father ran to the son. What a great picture of God as our father pursuing us. As this prodigal son was trying to hide in the darkness of night and the wild living, God was coming after him. The father and the father God. That comes to verse 11 and 12 of Psalm 139. Listen, back to David. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. There's a saying I hear often from some of the older ones that maybe have told their children, their young adult children, maybe when there was still a curfew in the home, we'll say that age. I want you home by midnight because nothing good happens after midnight. It's a lot of truth in that statement. Okay? So this, if the psalmist, surely, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, thinking he could get away with it, things in the dark of night. No, even the darkness will not be dark to you, God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. What does that come in? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Listen, this is the message we have heard from him, and we declare it to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. So we see God pursuing all three of these. And he pursues us in that relationship by the Holy Spirit, drawing us to himself. Fourth, last one here, John chapter 5. This is this man disabled. That's your one blank. For 38 years. The 38 is your second blank. This man disabled for 38 years. So here we are, Jesus, John chapter 5. He's coming into Jerusalem there by the sheep gate. And it says near that, inside the sheep gate, there is this pool called Bethesda. We actually saw where that was when we were over there in Jerusalem. Way down, the remains of it. The steps, it's all rock. High steps that you go down in. There was not a lot of water in it now, but back in the day, there would have been. It says, who were gathered around this pool of Bethesda? There were a great number of disabled people lying there. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And John doesn't record it, but one of the other gospels says, at a certain time, an angel of the Lord would go down and trouble the waters, and the first one in would get healed. Well, so Jesus comes to that pool of Bethesda, and he learns of this guy who had been lying there for 38 years. Now, if you read the whole account, you know this man had no clue of who Jesus was, never heard of him, didn't know anything about his miracles. And there's all these, a great multitude, it says, of disabled people lying all around this big area. And he goes to that one man. That one man he goes to, what, he's pursuing him, right? Do you want to get well? That was his question. Of course, yes. I have no one to help me down into the water. Oh, someone always gets there ahead of me. Jesus said, take up your mat and be healed. And he was, instantly. The Pharisees, of course, they're right there too. Jesus leaves. Pharisees, who healed you? I don't know. This guy told me take up my mat and walk, and I was healed, and I did. But you know what? Jesus didn't just leave that man. He didn't just let him be. If you go on into verse 14 of that fifth chapter, it says, later on, Jesus found him at the temple. He found him. I tell you, that just, you know, for ourselves, that should bring joy to our hearts, right? That God is always at work. He's always wanting a deeper relationship with us. Men, sort of like this with your wives. They always want to know more how you feel. I want to know how you feel. Because God created them that way, generally. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. It's just how it is. And us guys are like, I don't know. Well, just tell me how you feel. Well, it's just not so easy for us guys to do that. Unless you get us in the right mode or the right mood or whatever, then maybe we'll tell you a little bit. We might just, or they'll say, what are you thinking? Nothing. Remember the wedding video, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage? That guy says, ladies, the men in their brains, they act, all our brains meant these little boxes. I just got to throw this in here, okay? Wasn't planning on it. And when I'm in this box, if it's my planting box, see, that's where I'm at. Don't bother me with other stuff. Put that box away, and if I'm in my time to bale the hay, whatever. I'm in that box. Don't bother me. He said, in the middle of all those boxes, there is a box called the nothing box. And so, ladies, if you say, what are you thinking about, dear? He says, nothing. He's not lying to you. There is a nothing box. For the ladies, he says, their brain is like, all these wires are connected. And it says, so it's hard for a lady to understand that about a man, and the vice versa is true. How'd I get on that? Ladies, we want a relationship. That's how. That's where I was going. Husband and wife want that relationship. And a lot of times, it's the wife that is more pursuing the feeling side of that relationship. And God is pursuing that with us. He wants to draw you closer than you've ever known or experienced before with Him. And let Him do it. Why does He pursue you so passionately? Let her see, and we'll get into this next week. I'll just give you the blanks as we go on to those next verses. Because God Himself made you. He made you. That's why He pursues you so passionately. It's like things that you make by hand, natural things in your life that you make, whether it's these miniature barns or toy chests or whatever that you make. You put your time and effort into those things and you care about that, right? When you gift it to somebody that is precious to you, or whether it's something you sew or building a tractor for a tractor pull, it's incredible. That's your baby, right? Well, guess what? You are God's baby, so to speak, and He loves you. Let's pray. Father, thank You. You know us inside and out. And thank You that You pursue us. You never give up on us, Lord. You just draw us to Yourself. And forgive us for times we don't respond as we should. Forgive us for that. Help us, Lord, to want to respond even greater in our lives and in our walk with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In Christ alone. See, Acts 17:28 says, for it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. So, in Christ alone. Let's stand and we'll sing this beautiful hymn as it is.
Oh,
so we do stand in his power and his strength. Please receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Now in a moment, I got to have one more announcement. And then we will sing God Bless America. I should have said this earlier, but a big congratulations to our Menno Mad Frogs who are starting to play. We have several guys in the church on the team. Their first game of districts is here at Menno. Districts are Friday night. They're playing Irene. So 8 o'clock. Go out and support them. All right. God bless America. May be seated. Thank you, Jennifer, for the beautiful music today. Have a wonderful afternoon.